This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2179. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave, on this edition recorded February 23rd. Afghanistan, Antarctica, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Cuba, Denmark, Egypt, Europe, Germany, Guantanamo Bay, Iran, Italy, Japan, Kuwait, Maldives, Netherlands, Nigeria, North America, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Turkey, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Via Aloque Scripto, a press release from Radio for Peace International, Dateline Bordeaux, February 20th. This NGO, studio-based in Giron, France, reaffirms its support for women in Afghanistan by producing and broadcasting new programs in Farsi in collaboration with Afghan journalists who have remained in the country. I guess they mean Dari, which is almost the same as Farsi. Starting on Tuesday, February 21st, initially for a period of 3 months, 4 times a week. They are Tuesdays and Thursdays via Bulgaria on 15700 at 07 UT, and Mondays and Saturdays at 11:45 on 15770 via WRMI, and also Sundays at 13 UT on 15770, and also streaming via www.rfpi.eu. Via Hugo Lopez, Manuel Mendez, and Horacio Negro, we had more advance notice of another test broadcast from LRA 36 Antarctica for Saturday, February 18th on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB, scheduled from 20 until 23 UT, but it was on the air before that and considerably after that hour. And this time it was widely heard not only via remote receivers but direct in various parts of North America, such as Richard Langley in New Brunswick, Mick Dummage in Alberta, Chris Krug in Tulsa, Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State, and we're still on past midnight 35 UT, Sunday, February 19th. They were replaying some of the programming we'd heard before, such as about LRA 60, the brief Argentine station in the Falkland Islands. The notice also said in the next week they would receive their 1 kilowatt power amplitude modulated transmitter, calibrated for a new frequency, 15475, that to be tested in due course. But we'll know it's on the air once they're on that frequency instead of about 15476. But no more tests heard yet as of February 23rd. Gary Pence was also hearing it via remote in California, and Bruce Churchill in California was hearing it again via remote in Western Iceland, which seems to work surprisingly well over an all-water path up the Atlantic. I can only hear it via remotes in Argentina or Brazil. Harold Sellers in British Columbia says, for almost 2 months, the same December 22nd program was used in the RAI Argentina to the World broadcast via WRMI. But February 20th at 02 UT on 5850, I heard a new program recorded on Wednesday, February 15th, that's only 5 days old. The Brazilian pirate in Pará, Radio Antares, which reported last week about 7400, continued to be heard. At least as of February 19th, I still had a barely audible carrier at 0754 on 7399.924. It certainly runs all night, which is good for DX propagation. Bruce Churchill in California was also hearing that one via the remote in Western Iceland at 0630 UT, February 17th. He says the signal usually improves around sunrise, 0745 to 0800 in Brazil. Besides occasional IDs, they have time checks and songs in English as well as Portuguese, as Manuel Mendez in Spain also notes. And he also reports Radio Inconfidencia on 6010 after many months not hearing it on that frequency. This was February 17th at 0740 to 753. Parallel to their much better signal on the 19-meter band, 15190.1, and that one varies. Claudio Galaz in Chile reports RCW Radio Compañía Worldwide, the pirate down there, on three different frequencies. The new one on us is 11605. This was February 18th at 1735 to 2003. News about the Festival de Viña with music ID at 1800 with a strong signal in his location. They're also on 7610, February 19th at 2135 to 2245 with a football match. And their regular frequency 6925 AM, heard February 18th at midnight 25 to 0200 with news and festival coverage, and on the 19th at 01 to 159 with more of the same, a very good signal. It seems that WRMI is often missing from 9455 despite a 24-hour schedule, but that's just as well when the China radio wars are going on the same frequency. February 17th at 1905, 5 hertz below 9455, I had good reception via the remote in Holland of Fire Dragon music jamming, and hardly anything from its victim, which must have been USAGM via Saipan in Chinese Mandarin. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, such as 11670 still on the air in Spanish, February 19th at 0750. And February 20th at 0726, there was dead air in English on 6165, and a few minutes later on 11760, dead air could have been English or Spanish. That low-power station in Denmark, the only one active on the 11-meter band, WMR, was coming in well at S5, February 17th at 1748, says Gary Pence, KM5X, using the remote receiver at KPH, SDR, Point Reyes, California. A nice ID at 1751, and exactly on 25799.876. That's WMR for World Music Radio. Regarding my report last week of Radio Cairo, Egypt, trying to reactivate 9440 on Tuesday, February 14th, for the English sesquihour starting at 21:15, Richard Langley in New Brunswick says they tried again on Tuesday, February 21st, 9440 at 21:15. Modulation was almost non-existent. There was audio dominated by a 1584 hertz tone. Gianni Serra in Roma, Italia, reports some Euro pirates on frequencies where you might not be looking for them. 8487.95, Radio Parade, February 10th at 1838, playing Irish folk music on an unusual off-band frequency. 50 watts is supposed to be the power. And 9964.90, an unidentified station, February 7th at 1720, with pop music. Jim Renfrew in Clarendon, New York says, I don't DX shortwave much, but here's a new one for me. Channel 292 Germany on 6070, February 22nd for an hour from 0410 with endless rock songs. Steady but weak during my listening. He's close to CFRX Toronto on the same frequency, but he was not hearing it at the time. As we previewed last week, the one-time-a-year broadcast, Radio Inrang, was indeed on the air, February 21st, between 16 and 1658 UT, on 15215 via France. That's for Frisians abroad, especially in New York, with a 500-kilowatt transmitter aimed that way. It was widely heard across North America. Hans-Jörg Wiener in Germany provides some background info about what this is all about. It's the oldest remaining North Frisian custom, the Biekebrennen Festival. That's B-I-I-K-E-B-R-E-N-N-E-N. It's now a cheerful carnival celebration involving, as you might guess, setting fires. Here's a recording of their English announcement made by Richard Langley in New Brunswick.
Hello, we are broadcasting. This is Radio Umrum, the Frisian voice coming from Umrum, the island in North Germany. The frequency is 15.215, shortwave, broadcasted with 500 kilowatts. It should be heard on the 21st of February in North America and East Coast. The initiator of this broadcasting is Mr. Ayan Koso, Tannenwai 24 in 25946 Nebel on the island Umrum. My name is Gernot Rader, leader of the Free Assistance School, the Toastie Schule in Flensburg, at the Danish borderline, Germany. The initiation to make an hour of broadcasting comes from Iron Castle, an enthusiastic inhabitant of Amrum. We speak about the so-called Bickebrennen, Bicke burning and news of Amrum. This tradition is held on the 21st of February. They say the ghosts of the roaming fire developed especially on the Frisian island. On the so-called Petri Day, Peter's Day in Old Frisian, exactly on the 21st of February, all over the Frisian islands, fire are lighted. This happens between 5 and 6 o'clock p.m. Radio Amrum greets you all over the world, especially in New York, where more exiles from Amrum live than on this island just now.
In medium wave echo of the Arctic Radio Club, Bernd Ivan Holmberg in Sala, Sweden, reports hearing what may be a first among European DXers. 1340 AFRTS or AFN in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, February 12th at 0554. It was an English talk station about the Super Bowl at that time. Power is only 250 watts, and he suspects it's aimed south to keep most of the signal out of Cuba. His antenna is a long wire of 400 meters, aimed 295 degrees. Of course, on a graveyard channel like 1340 with hundreds of stations, we inside North America can only dream of hearing any DX from outside. Matt Francis in New South Wales forwards a story from the Sunday Times in the UK, February 19th, on Iranian regime threats against journalists working at the Iran International TV channel, forcing the closure of its operation in London. Exceptional advice by counterterrorism chiefs to relocate from London to Washington, D.C., after a string of foiled plots targeting the opposition station's journalists in recent weeks. A similar report about this is on their own website, www.iranintl.com. And Matt says, heard on its relay via Uzbekistan, February 19th on 15630 at a good level, at 0445, now a feed from its U.S. TV service. Although World of Radio showed up unexpectedly on IRRS shortwave 7295 on Saturday, February 11th, it did not again on February 18th or 17th, but on the 17th I was checking via the Holland remote and found the second harmonic coming in at S7 or 8, measured on 14589.996 with other programming. That was via Bulgaria at 1813. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard updates us on the HFD radio station JG2XA in Japan. February 16th at 11:35, carrying out an HF Doppler project. He says in the past, their 60-watt signal was never strong, but today was heard with an unusually good signal open carrier on 5006 and 8006. So he inquired if something new was happening and got a reply right away in 8 minutes from Professor Keisuke Hosokawa at the University of Electrocommunications. We are replacing the transmitter system in Tokyo. Still testing, but the power is now 200 watts for both frequencies. Still working on adding Morse code IDs. The new system has been tested since January 17th. Michel Frémy of Media Magazine, or Radio Du Monde, tells us the U.S. Agency for Global Media is seeking preliminary info for market research to supply several shortwave broadcast transmitters, including installation, commissioning, and training at the USAGM Kuwait station near Al Jarrah. Depending on demand, it's a matter of finding companies capable of supplying high-power shortwave broadcast transmitter systems operating between 5.8 and 21.85 megahertz, with the ability to change frequency in 30 seconds or less. Must have capability to operate at a carrier power of 250 kilowatts and an average power of 125. Stephen Luce in Houston replies, the Kuwait expansion has been talked about for a number of years. It looks like we are finally seeing some action. Cheap electricity makes it an attractive site. The recent USAGM budget report indicated 4 new transmitters would be added to Kuwait. I would assume Continental and Ambigon would be the likely bidders. They're certainly not going to purchase from BBEF in China. I can't think of anyone else still in business building shortwave transmitters of 250 kilowatts or more. Another possibility might have been RIZ in Croatia. They still have a website, but they no longer exist, say Michel Frémy and Leslie Illingworth. We are still guessing about the secret transmitter site for Voice of Martyrs Korea, Maldives service, often in their own language, Divehe, on 11620, between 15 and 1530 UT. It's supposedly registered via Tashkent, Uzbekistan. However, this seems unlikely considering the reception in various parts of the world. Another possibility suggested has been Taiwan, or Kununurra reached beyond Australia, where we know the same Voice of Martyrs has other broadcasts emanating. And now Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria has come up with two other possibilities. I'm not sure why or how, namely the BBC sites in Oman or Singapore. In the British GS Club, Vince, G0ORC, Vince Shirley, reports a pirate called Sluvivos Radio on 5030, February 19th at 2030. It's from Amsterdam, putting in a very good signal for him for the first time on that frequency. It's spelled S-L-U-W-E-V-O-S. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2179. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. So we're very thankful for voluntary financial support. Thanks this week to Greg Putz, KI7UED in Bountiful, Utah, who says thank you for your work, with a generous check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. The only sometimes active frequency of Voice of Nigeria continues to be just below 7255. It's often on the air, but not always, between 06 and 08 UT, more or less, often with nothing but dead air, but sometimes modulation, maybe in the first hour when it's supposed to be in Hausa. I was noting it February 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. Gary Pence, KM5X, suggests Nigerian carrier only at 0759. They should have a new call sign, Station 67, since it's minus 67 hertz from 7255. Filed under North America, what started as an UNID on 11950 USB from Jorge Freitas in Brazil, February 18th at midnight 25. Classical music without narration. A good signal at his location, but an excellent signal at a remote in Georgia. This is unlikely to be Cuba on 11950 at this time. There was an ID in English at midnight 30, which he could not copy. Eric Fetterswalp replies, this is a pirate station, Mix Radio International, according to HF Underground. Heard with a very good signal into Seattle. They later switched to 11935, still playing classical music, says Eric Fetterswalp at 0310. Chris Mackerel in New Zealand was also getting faint signs of it at 0333. Walt Salmaniv says it was also booming into his remote at Masset, BC at 0423. I was also listening via the remote in Utah on 11935, where it was S8 or S9 at 0418, with familiar classical music, but no IDs of the music, but IDs of the station at 0433. Finest sounds. You're listening to MRI, Mixed Radio International Worldwide, and inviting reception reports. It appeared to be off by 0539. How are things going in Russia? In Rusty X, it's reported by TASS that radio stations must indicate, before playing songs of musical artists, that they are recognized as a foreign agent. If they are, this announcement with their full name must last at least 15 seconds before and after the performance. Furthermore, the State Duma has adopted a law on language limiting the use of foreign words. That news came from cableman.ru. Alan Rowan, UK, says, I noticed from 10:40 UT, Saturday, February 18th, Saudi Arabia SBA on 21670 with an unscheduled relay of the domestic Western pop music network SRFM instead of their scheduled Indonesian service. but it was just audible in the background. From Russian DX, another oddity about the Russian service from Radio Exterior de España. Dmitry Mezin and Alexei Yurchenkov in Telegram report, since February 13th, 11685 for West Africa and the South Atlantic has been used for broadcasting in Russian instead of the previous frequency 12030 toward the Middle East and the Indian Ocean. There is no word on changes to the official broadcast schedule at 18 to 1829 UT, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, they're making do since they don't have any antenna actually aimed at Russia. Voice of Turkey continues to be quite unreliable for its English to North America service at 23 UT on 5960. It simply did not appear on February 20th or 21st, leaving the frequency to XJPBS in East Turkestan, which is always there to interfere at least. However, TRT has an all-Turkish language service on 5910, presumably via the Vatican site as part of International Radio for Disaster Relief. Halki says it's on the air between 17 and 04 UT. I was listening to it February 20th after 2300, a good signal at least into U20 in Holland, although presumably aimed toward Turkey. We're not sure of the transmitter site, but Turkey itself would be too close, so maybe it really is Vatican. However, after 01 UT, there are already other stations on the same frequency causing severe co-channel interference. Romania in Romanian to North America at 01 to 03 is especially a problem in Europe and Asia, and CRI via Cuba at 03 to 05, which is especially a problem here. Unlike the English broadcasts, which are all read by announcers in the studio or even home studio, this special Turkish language service does include apparent reports from the sites of the disaster. One hears sirens and a lot of commotion. Regarding that TV news audio, on NBFM 26110 reported last week, I heard it too February 18th at midnight 15, identifying as CBS 13. That's KOVR-TV in Sacramento, California. A quite steady signal. It's one of those talkback transmitters, so correspondents in the field can be queued without internet or satellite delay. But they may be intermittent during local newscasts when they're most likely to be in use. I checked their own program schedule and found news starting at these times, that is, local news, on weekdays at 6 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and 10 p.m., and on weekends only at 5 and 10 p.m. Some of them last only half an hour, others 2.5 hours. And Roland UK says, Music and Medicine is scheduled on monthly first Sunday, repeated the following weeks, on WRMI 15770 at 19 UT. So he tuned in, although very late, at 1940 UT on February 19th, and it was the episode, the same one he had heard on the 11th of December. So he wonders if this was an error or whether there was a different episode during January. Last week we had news that KDWN 720 in Las Vegas, Nevada, would be signing off permanently at the end of February. Then the Courtesy Program Committee managed to persuade the chief engineer to run 9 minutes longer with a test just before midnight at the end of February 28th local time. For 10 minutes, not sure what the programming will be, but it will be with a day power of 25 kilowatts, and it might be non-directional or directional, not sure of that either. That's 0759 UT Wednesday, March 1st, for 10 minutes, when those to the east may have a chance to hear KDWN, if they have not already, but there'll be interference from WGN. I made the suggestion that it would be neat if WGN could be persuaded to go off the air for this brief 10-minute period on this special occasion, but I was met with insults and derision. Otherwise, one might have a chance to hear it around sunrise or sunset, that is, just before going off day power at 0115 UT in February, and just after going on to day power at 1430. The 1140 Vegas station, KXST, is also going silent, but Stephen Luce, as of February 23rd, says, although they are going silent, the licenses have not yet been surrendered, so there's still a small possibility one or both could be resurrected under new ownership. Whether it makes any business sense to do so is up for debate. Via the Arctic Radio Club, The Currency Program Committee has arranged another special medium wave DX test, more conventionally, from a daytime-only station, WDFB 1170, in Junction City or Danville, Kentucky. It's broadcast Christian radio. But the test will feature mainly test tones and Morse code. It's a two-hour test, starting Saturday morning, February 25th, at 12:01 Eastern or 0501 UT. But it will be challenging since there are 50-kilowatt stations still going on 1170, like KTSB Tulsa and WWVA Wheeling. In IRCA DX Monitor, Harry Dentz, N4HT in Lexington, Kentucky, reports about a local Part 15 station on 1710 kHz. Heard February 9th at 1615 UT with a Christian format in Spanish. It was first heard on July 3rd, last summer. He says, I tracked it down to an assembly hall near the Iglesia Puerta del Cielo Church in Lexington. A visit via appointment confirms this as a legitimate Part 15 station with a small antenna on the roof of the assembly hall. It has fair coverage into areas surrounding the Cardinal Valley neighborhood on the west side of Lexington. It's called Radio Gracia Celestial, and its website is radiograciacelestial.com. Here's a website you may want to check out about Midwest legendary radio station, including air checks and clips. It's the Central Illinois Broadcast Museum, www.dougquick.com. That is run by someone named Doug Quick. Mike Cooper sends a Washington Post story of February 22nd by Paul Farhi. National Public Radio plans to cut about 100 employees, roughly 10% of its workforce, in one of the largest layoffs in the nonprofit news giant's 53-year history. CEO John Lansing wrote in a staff memo, "Our financial outlook has darkened considerably over recent weeks. Expected ad revenue has fallen about $30 million short of projections in a tightening economy." Details about the cuts will be worked out by March 20th. NPR is primarily reliant on four sources of funding: ad sponsorships, dues from member stations, philanthropic gifts, and federal dollars that typically amount to less than 2% of its operating budget. Earl Dabelstein in the Minnesota DX Club forwards a story from Aviation Week in Space Technology of February 16th by Steve Trimble. Hobby Club's missing balloon feared shot down by USAF. A small globe-trotting balloon declared missing in action by an Illinois hobbyist club on February 15th is a candidate to explain one of the three mystery objects shot down by four heat-seeking missiles launched by the U.S. Air Force fighters since February 10th. It's the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade, NIBBB. Circumstantial evidence is intriguing. The club's silver-coated party-style Pico balloon reported its last position on February 10th at 38,910 feet off the west coast of Alaska. The small Pico ballooning enthusiast community combines ham radio and high-altitude ballooning into a single, relatively affordable hobby. New updated edition of the World of Radio Hit List by Alan Rowe is now available at our website, worldofradio.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC, unsettled to active geomagnetic conditions, with ANKNCs peaking at 18 and 5 on March 6th, 15 and 4 on March 15th. Solar flux rising from 125 February 24th to a peak of 180 from March 7th to 13th. With many thanks to our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2179 with a standard disclaimer.